The opinions expressed in Reality Rangers are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
And before we start, let me issue a spoiler alert for the premiere of Traitors Canada Season 3 and for Episode 5 of Survivor 49.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Hey, listeners, welcome back to another episode of Reality Rangers, where we give you the lay of the reality TV land. I'm your host, Malik Fortier.
And I'm Andrew Hill.
And we are here to discuss the premiere of Traitors Canada Season 3, one of the best premieres of Traitors we've seen in a minute. Right, Andrew?
Yes, it was so good. And honestly, it was maybe the best premiere of reality TV we've seen in a while.
Yeah, like, it was twist filled, all our favorite people, and even some newbies that were here proving that they've got what it takes to be new reality TV royalty. We're just gonna start right in with the character intros when they were driving up to the manor in the cars. Who stuck out to you?
Yeah, so out of the gate, I think we can both agree, like, some of the Survivor and Big Brother players that we already knew already made themselves known as, like, some of our favorites. We already knew that, and they're making it clear. Venus and Kevin were both very notable in their, like,
confidence,
and it was very fun to see. I also thought Meredith really stood out as one of the civilians. She was a lot of fun and, like, surprisingly really good at lying, and as we talked about last episode, one of the people who is here with her wife, which no one else knows.
Yeah, another secret relationship, and she did really well at hiding that, you know, lying that she had a husband who was in massage therapy. She had that prepared.
Yeah, it was immediate, like, there was no hesitation. She was on it.
Omer from Survivor, I think, did a good job of downplaying his threat level. If anyone wasn't a reality TV fan, they maybe would have thought that he, you know, was somebody who got betrayed and, you know, somebody got one up on him, a.k.a. Marianne, which she did. She clocked him with that extra vote. But he was a little underestimating his abilities there. He was underselling his puppeteering skills. So I think that was a good course of action for him.
He was really good at never saying anything that was straight out a lie. He never said that he was a bad player. He just let them fill that information in for themselves.
Yeah, a little omission of the truth never hurt anybody. And so, yeah, we get to the manor, but it's not your typical Traitors premiere where we're just heading to the round table or having their cocktails. No, we are headed to the graveyard, the cemetery, where Karine announces a new game mechanic.
Yes, so we don't know much about it at this point in the episode, but she mentions how two people will be coming back to the graveyard at the end of the night. And it's nerve-wracking. We don't know what that means. You know, it could mean two people joining, you know, the traitors. It could mean two people getting eliminated out of the gate. Like, it's scary.
It's left a lot up to interpretation. And then there was another twist added on. Like I said, this is a twist-filled premiere. Another new game mechanic was the fact that now there's an incentive to banish the traitors. With every time the faithful successfully banish a traitor at the round table, they will add 10K to the prize pot.
Yes, and honestly, as we'll talk about later in the episode, they need that money from how well they're doing so far.
Yeah, the last season, I think, got up to maybe 70K. Not the full prize pot. Gone are the days of the Tranas and the Cedrics ruling the round tables. We are going to have efficient round tables, and they're going to get the traitors out.
They're going to be done and dusted.
Hopefully.
They could be a complete mess. We haven't gotten there yet.
All right. And then we move to the iconic first round table of the season. The round table where the traitors are chosen by getting a little tap on the shoulder. We've all seen it done many times before. And it's going to happen the same way it always does.
Yes. And it is such a tense moment. I'm thrilled to see our first traitor. It seems to be Omar Zahir from Survivor, one of my favorites. And then
we get Natalie, who we don't know at all.
We barely know. The first confessional she had kind of made me cringe a little bit, but she seems fine.
Yeah, and then we get some other people. Yes, more traitors, more. Wait, we realize everybody is picked to be a traitor but the traitors themselves.
It's a flip on the dime. It turns out that anyone who is tapped, unlike the previous seasons, is now a faithful, meaning that our two traitors at the beginning of this season are actually Kevin Jacobs, one of my favorites, I'm so excited, and Coco from
Big Brother Quebec.
Big Brother Quebec, who earlier in the episode was said to be the greatest Quebec Big Brother player, which, because we didn't know much about her in that episode, or prior to the episode, I just assumed she was fine. But, you know, she has that title, and I'm very excited for the
I heard there was a saying, if you've never been betrayed by Coco, have you really played Big Brother? And I'm like, okay, now I'm perking up, and I'm ready to see her kill it in the turret, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. And so we see the two of them. They don't know who their second traitor is, but the two of them, you know, we go back to the house and they're congregating. People are talking about this crazy twist and how they were trying to find out, like, look at whose faces stood out as, like, you know, getting intense. Yeah, you know, it's.
And whose faces changed the most, right, after Karine revealed that it was actually an inversion.
Or whose faces don't change at all.
Exactly.
Because they mention, is it Lysette?
Lizette.
Lizette's whole thing with, like, how she's so jumpy throughout the whole episode and she doesn't even panic at the beginning. Like, it's such a silly thing, but we just see all of these accusations fly out of who could be these possible traitors.
And in typical Traitors Premier fashion, most of them are baseless. Most of them are not concrete evidence. But, you know, people love a good witch hunt. And a witch hunt was had indeed. All right, now we move to the first mission of the season. It is a take on what we've seen with season 3 of UK and US, where it's kind of like people on some boats and getting some gold and potentially getting protected for the first murder.
Right. So the way the challenge works is they split up into different groups. There's the strength group on one boat. There's a brainy group on another, a social group. You know, there's a whole different array of people. And two things become apparent pretty quickly. One is that as they complete their challenges, they have to leave someone behind who can't win safety at the round or at the killing. And the second thing is that the strength people are dumb as rocks.
We thought, you know, maybe they would just get their job done and, you know, keep it pushing, but of course they had to give in to the jock stereotype. And what had happened was they finished their challenge. They were one of the groups to finish the challenge, and then they got to the dock, dropped someone off, and forgot to take their gold back.
It was completely embarrassing. They had even more insane. They had maybe 3 minutes left, and they decided to go back to get the gold, risking their safety because they wanted, what, like $500?
Yeah, it was not a fair trade to me.
It was embarrassing because they didn't come back in time. They made a total of $4,000, and half of them weren't safe anymore.
Which, I mean, is good for the traders.
Absolutely.
So, you know, ended up making more people available for murder that night, which kind of screams saboteur. Some people might be like, oh, why do you want more people to not be shielded from the murder? Yeah, it raises quite an eyebrow.
It was definitely a big deal for people, like, against Ty, who decided they should go back to get the gold. And Curtis was also notably, you know, people's suspicion, because he was the one who screwed them in the first place when they didn't even grab their buoys in the right order, and they had to, like, randomize it, hope they could get it in time.
There was some big beef with the big beefy guys, yeah, on the boat.
Which is shocking. More shocking is when they chose who would be left behind. Dom had said that they should leave who contributed the least, and Curtis and Shaughnessy both said, oh, Shaughnessy has to go. Curtis is the one that screwed them over.
He is gaslighting Shaughnessy.
And Shaughnessy and Dom are so dumbfounded. The two of them, after the challenge, are like, we'll talk later. Like, they cannot believe their other strength boys.
And so, yeah, as we move to the kind of post-mission discussions, we see a few names pop out on the heat list. Like we said, Curtis was one of them. Ty was one of them. But also our beloved Omer was catching a lot of flack.
It was honestly shocking. Like, I can understand it, but I'm really upset. And we also saw a lot of flack on Kevin, who had more important things to do. So it wasn't as much of a focus. But.
Right. So Kevin and Coco were brought to the, you know, secret confessional room. I don't know what they call it. It's not the diary room. I don't know. Maybe the study or something.
I think it's a confessional
room. It's a confessional room with a nice comfy chair. And they receive this letter. Kevin and Coco are tasked with finding their fellow traitor with a kind of flagging necklace that kind of indicates their traitorhood.
I honestly thought that was really cool. Like, I think the idea of, like, it's something that if someone noticed it, like, that's really suspicious. But at the same time, like, you have to have it shown out so that you can find your traitor. Like, it feels like a very fun idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like murder in plain sight adjacent, yeah. Which
it's like
I
that,
love that,
but like with lower stakes. Exactly. So it feels more fun.
Right, right. So the two eventually find each other. It takes a while, but they connect, and that is when they can enact the second part of what they read in the letter, and that is choosing who was going to be the next recruit.
Yes, so they have to choose two people for them to meet at the end of the night at the graveyard that was previously mentioned. And I honestly was kind of dumbfounded from the start because it seems like something's up. Like, you would assume that, you know, it mentions that one of them will become a traitor, but it also kind of insinuates that one of them is going to get eliminated. But they decide that both of them get a choice of who they want to be a traitor, thinking that there would be four of them.
Yeah, and we have never seen four traitors, at least in Traitors Canada. We've seen it in places like New Zealand, UK, and Australia, but there's never been a Canadian precedent for it, which is kind of why I was a little confused as to why they didn't read between the lines. So yeah, Kevin chooses Ty because he wants that Big Brother winner connection, and he knows that Ty's been getting a little bit of heat. But Coco doesn't want it to be, you know, a full four...
A whole sausage fest.
Yeah, Coco doesn't want it to be a whole sausage fest, you know, if there was four traitors. So she picks Venus to be her choice. And so Ty and Venus are the two options. But what's confusing is I don't know where they got the fact that there'd be four traitors from.
No, it's really confusing to me. And I think I would love for the four of them to be all traitors together. I think that's an incredible team. But they kind of screwed themselves over because now they're going to have to choose one of them to join them, and one of them is going to have to be killed immediately, which is so unfortunate because both of them would be so good for, like, Coco and Kevin.
Yeah, and also from a TV perspective, these are both, you know, reality TV alums. You know what sucked? Season one, Erica going home on the first murder. You know, she was such a big get for the first season of The Traitors, and she was just gone like that. You know, and to think that we're going to have to lose somebody, for me specifically, Venus. I don't want to lose Venus.
No,
we just got her back after a couple years of hiatus. I want her to be here till the end.
I am so worried for Venus. She's the one I was so excited for the most. And even if Ty goes, I'll be upset because Ty is so entertaining with how stupid and cutthroat he is.
But he is a winner, though.
He is a winner.
He's had his chance.
Yeah, he's had his chance. And I want Venus to have her chance and show everyone who's the boss, you know?
Exactly. Who is the silent killer in the night that is Venus Vapa? We need to see that. We need to see Venus traitor edits on our For You page now.
Now! And I also think they really did not play this well. Like, at first, the way that they were, like, apologizing, saying how they didn't realize they would have to kill one of them, like, that makes sense. But then they really kept leaning into it. And the more that Kevin and Coco argued and are supposedly going to argue at the beginning of the next episode is going to make the loser of that argument completely hated by the new traitor.
Like, exactly.
If Ty goes, Kevin and Venus's relationship is so screwed because Kevin is fighting so hard for Ty.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
If Venus goes, then Ty and Coco are not going to be on good terms.
They're really screwing each other over. And I know it's an individual game for the most part. When you're playing as a traitor, you want to be the sole traitor to win. But it's first episode. Why are you screwing over your relationship so heavily?
And, you know, if I were Kevin, if I'm this guy who's all, oh, I'm the best Big Brother Canada winner ever, you'd think the guy would be able to read through the lines and figure out that one of these people is dying.
He should understand, like, the situation. And I think, in a way, he does. But
maybe this was his big brain plan to get rid of another big name.
It just doesn't make sense for him to keep Ty, I don't think. Like, it's a big threat that isn't against you, which is nice. However, right. I think Venus and Kevin were shown at the start of the episode to really have, like, an immediate, like, we need to work together, we have a good bond.
Yeah.
You need to, like, know when to switch gears, change paths, like change plans.
Pivot.
Yeah, you need to know when to pivot because this whole situation, why would you want to get rid of Ty now that the whole thing is flipped on its head?
And one thing I think is interesting that I didn't realize until after watching the episode, no matter who goes home here, it's going to be a turret full of reality TV alums.
Yes.
We always see only one, maybe two on these seasons. You know, I mean, season three of Traitors US, you saw a bunch of, it's all celebrities, but it was all reality TV alum. And, you know, they had big personalities, big clashes, but we're going to have three maybe Big Brother players or two Big Brother players and a Survivor player in the turret. And so I think the perk about that is once you get rid of one or two, you know, reality TV traitors, people might think, oh, well, that's it. The next person has to be a civilian.
It would be kind of funny if the next season had all civilian traitors. I think that would be really entertaining.
Yeah.
If you get like a good civilian cast who can like prove themselves and show that they're here to be reality stars, then it'd be so funny to see the reality stars eat each other for no reason.
Exactly. Like, you know, whether it's the casts of UK and Australia where it's majority newbies or, you know, some of the half newbies, half stars, a lot of these newbies are here to play the game and they're going to be our new, you know, freshman class of reality TV alums. And I think we've got to showcase them. But I mean, I'm not opposed to having, you know, protection for some of the big names, especially Venus.
Absolutely.
If she gets protection from murder, I am down for that. Like I said in the last episode, give her a free ride to the end and I'm not going to be mad at that.
I need Venus to, I want Venus to have everything in this world. Like,
give her an extra
vote. Give her the world.
Give her a journey. Give her a knowledge without power.
Make her the first person to complete the CBS cycle of Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race, and Traitors.
And make her the first Canadian to surpass all the Americans. That would be hilarious. Okay, if we had to rank our traitors right now with the letter grade, kind of collectively, Coco and Kevin, what would we give them after the start of the premiere? Or after the end of the premiere?
It feels like they're going to be good in the future, but right now they're like a B minus. They're not really doing too much. They don't need to. But then the whole thing at the graveyard was so bizarre. Like, I think it could go way up because they could be really cooperative, or it could go crashing down.
And I think if they do end up choosing Venus, I think she'll be able to act like she's not holding a grudge. I mean, we didn't see that skill on Survivor 46, but I think now she's matured a little more and she's learned from her mistakes from season 46.
And she's not being starved on an island where she has no temper.
Where she has to live with Cuba Burdett.
Yeah, that's,
right?
That is the most important thing. Because she was pretty, like, calm and collected on her original tribe, and then she got to the merge, and it was just okay. She wasn't, I would say she was calm, but they didn't like her personality.
Yeah, she was an outcast, but she had a level head.
Yes,
but
then she got to Q, and
Q,
it all hell broke
loose. Q has an effect on people's mental health that I cannot wait to see on 50.
Hopefully we'll talk about it in a few months.
Yeah, speaking of Survivor, do we want to do a little 60-second Survivor segment?
Yeah, why
not? On the latest episode of Survivor 49?
I think this is a fun little segment.
Okay,
why not?
I did not plan this. I just kind of sprung this on Andrew.
We were doing this, but this is really fun.
Okay, we'll each get 60 seconds to talk about Survivor 49's fifth episode.
Like, you talk for 60 seconds, I talk for 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You go first.
I'll go first. Okay, I'm setting the timer right now. Okay. Sage versus Shannon. Love it, love it, love it. Why couldn't it have happened tonight? I want Shannon gone. Bible thumper, Jesus freak Shannon is manipulating people, and Sage clocked her. She is the second coming of Carolyn Weiger, and she is here to stay. Jason did not do enough. He was too passive. Just like last episode, he survived an episode, and he should have learned from what made him on the bottom last episode, but he didn't. Rizzo got a vote. Bye-bye, perfect game. Has Sophie gotten a vote even though she's been to the last five tribal councils? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, okay, Earl Cole. Okay, okay. Savannah.
Okay, Cochran.
Okay, Cochran. Okay, Savannah is winning the game. We knew this. Yep. Bye. Okay, no. But she's puppeteering Nate and making him think he's leading the course of the game, but she really is. That's Mother. And then MC is a beast. She's a beast. And what else? What else? The chicken was shot like an indie horror film.
Time.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to start your minute. Okay, three, two, one, go.
Okay. I need Shannon out of here because she is such a fake, like her Bible, Jesus whole thing, like heightened 10,000 when she got to a tribe of other Christians. And it's like, you can have a religion. That's awesome. But holy moly. Nate on the journey with MC, like you said, MC is a beast. I really like Nate's idea of like everything he did, and I'm surprised that MC saw the timer almost completely full and she was like, just go with it. I'm really starting to like Steven a lot more. I think he's showing a lot more, and Steven, Sage, and Alex, the three of them were awesome. Time.
I'll give you 10 more seconds.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Okay, and if you could describe the episode in one word, what would you say?
What would I say?
Or like a few words.
Yeah.
For me it would be picking up steam.
Yes, I think it's really picking up steam. I would say excited for another swap.
Question Holy mark?
It might be a weird mergatory.
Bye-bye mergatory.
But we've had so many the whole new era has been the same format. So getting one swap into two tribes was already crazy. Possibly getting a second swap into three tribes of four is crazy.
What is up with these small tribes? Make Survivor two tribes again. Keep it that way.
I agree. I do think in this case, it's really fun though.
It will be
hilarious.
It's
probably only
going
to be for one episode. And they haven't done anything like this, even before the new era.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, I think we've got some good... We're eating good in the reality TV world.
Yeah.
And it's so fun when it's the season where two shows overlap and we get to watch two shows a day after the other. It's always fun. We get fed well. So yeah, we hope that you're watching along with us. We are so sorry that these episodes are coming out a little bit delayed, but I hope that you guys find our recaps interesting. Do you have any parting words?
Thank you so much for listening to us. I'm genuinely, this is so much fun for me, and I assume Malik as well. We have a blast watching the shows, talking about them. And honestly, I feel like we're a lot more energetic this season, and
yeah,
just because we're so pumped to talk about this.
Like, it's Traitors Canada. Like, it's not Survivor 48. Like, no shade,
no,
but full
no.
shade.
48 was pretty good in the pre-merge, but started to fall off. I'm just glad we didn't talk about the
Yeah,
merge.
I'm glad we only had six episodes
we
to talk about.
We got the good part.
We got all of the Say content, and once she left, we stopped. Maybe it was predestined to be like that.
We planned it the whole time.
Right.
We knew that we were going to... You know, I talked to Jeff Probst and I asked, is this season good? And he said, it's incredible. And so I knew it was bad. And we just needed to deal with the fun part first.
Yeah, and I talked to Roman, he leaked the boot list to me. So I knew when Say was going. And so we made it only six episodes to account for that.
Yeah.
Well, that was it for today's episode. We probably went a little long, but that's just a sign of a good premiere. And we thank you for listening. And we can't wait to see you next week for another episode of
Reality Rangers.
Bye. Bye.